It is a beautiful Monday morning.
That's not a good start, is it, Jordan?
No.
Let's say it like this.
Try and apply that theory to any other industry in the world.
It's a scam.
I was betting like 70, 80K.
This is the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast, helping you beat the bookmakers. G'day, everyone. Welcome to episode 88 of the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast, a betting preview of UFC 259, the most stacked card of the year. It might be for the whole year, but at least so far, it basically shits on everything that's come out so far. It's quite incredible. As you can see, unless you're listening, I'm joined by ex-MMA fighter, smart sports trader, Ryan Bruno, and pro sports better. He's back, Jonas Gjelsted. How are we, fellas?
Yeah, good, mate. Yourselves?
Very, very good. It's good to have you both along. But I'm not going to lie, last week we probably didn't have the greatest week in terms of results. I was looking through yesterday. So Ryan Marzo lost, De La Rosa drew. So at least you got, I think most people or should have gotten their money back with the De La Rosa draw. Jonas Kroom lost, your man Kroom, and no Rosenstrike knockout for either of you. But what I would say, if you just let me go a little bit longer here, is we got some serious closing line value. Kroom closed at 2.4 on Pinnacle and De La Rosa closed at 1.8. So she actually moved into favourite, Ryan, after you put her in at 2.25, I think you said?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Well, I mean, we've been running pretty good, haven't we? I mean, when was the last time we had a losing event? Like,
yeah.
I think we've done like, I don't know, at least 6 or 7 on the trot where, you know, we made some good money. So, you know, these things come along, don't they? You know, you can't win every week.
As soon as Jonas joins in, it just all goes.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
But yeah, I don't want to spend too much time recapping last week because we have got so many fights to go through. I think we've got 9 or 10 here on the list. So, Let's get right into it. Quiz question for this week will be: name 3 UFC champs. So there's been 3 people that have won or held titles. I don't know if they held them simultaneously. I think so. Yeah. So held them simultaneously, two championships, and there's 1 triple champ in the UFC. So if you can name all three champs and the 1 triple champ, I reckon you'll be doing very well, gents. Today, we are going to cover the 3 title fights at UFC 259. Peter Yan versus Aljamain Sterling, Amanda Nunes versus Megan Anderson, and Jan Błachowicz versus Israel Adesanya, giving you all the value picks you want and need. But the big question is, fellas, what else is taking your fancy outside of these fights on, I would say, the biggest mega card of the year? Who wants to kick us off? Why don't you go first, Jonas, mate, just to keep things nice and fresh.
All right. So first fight that I looked at, let me see here. So I think that's the opening fight of the weekend. Espinosa versus Elliot. Is according to this bookie. Elliot is a crazy fighter. Like, I've never seen anyone else who blocks jabs with his chin. And just seems to love pain. So Espinosa is also not a fighter or like a fighter who's going to ever, I don't see him ever knocking out Elliot with his power and his record. I can see this fight go the distance, but it's not a most appealing odds and bets, but fight to go the distance 157. That's what I'm seeing at 365. And also at PokerStars. I don't know if you can get better elsewhere.
I certainly can, mate. You can get 1.72 at Paddy Power and Betfair. And you get 1.62 at Betway and Boyle. So you certainly can get a lot better than 1.57.
I think it's a very likely fight to go the distance. But I've also heard somebody likes the submission on Elliot. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I just said that was like a thing that majorly shifted in the market. I think it opened Tim Elliott by submission at 9. So that was at Paddy Power. I'm not sure if that's it. That was at All Books, but now that's gone into 5.5. So there's not much point in talking about that. That was more so just a major, major incorrect price.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you have any thoughts on this one, Ryan?
I think it'll be an interesting fight. I quite like Tim Elliott. Like he's a very strange fighter. Like there's not many people that fight with his style. Like it's very unorthodox, and he kind of comes forward and he eats shots like a zombie. But he does have like quite good grappling, and he's very dangerous with his chokes. You know, so that submission prop that you mentioned before, you know, that was massive value when it was like 8, 9, probably like 5.5. Now it's kind of getting to where it should be. But Espinoza's a bit more explosive and dynamic, so he can kind of get in and out. So it's an interesting fight. And I mean, like it probably will go the distance, I think, unless Elliott can really kind of force his grappling on Espinoza and maybe back him up against the fence, because you do see with Espinoza, when he does get hit, he kind of flinches a bit. It's quite strange, really, like in high-level MMA, you don't see that too often. So if Elliott's able to do that, but then I think he's at like an athletic disadvantage, so he might struggle to kind of close the distance. So, but yeah, I think that's a fine bet.
Yeah, I mean, you said 1.57. You were reasonably happy with that, Jonas. So you must be happy with 1.72.
Yeah, if I could get that, I'd be more than happy to take that.
If only you had a Paddy Power account, mate. All right. Well, let's interchange here. Ryan, you have, I believe, 2 or 3 fights you want to go through. I probably should have started with you before we get onto the title fights. But how about we kick it off? Let's go with Kai Kara France and Rogério Bontorin.
I don't know if you've seen Bontorin fight before, but he's a very kind of stocky for the weight class. He's very powerful for the division. He looks quite heavy-handed. He's got 14 finishes from 16 wins, so that shows you that, you know, the guy's obviously a big finisher. And I think Kai Kara France is technically the better fighter, and I think if he's able to kind of keep it at range and keep it at distance, then he'll be able to win the fight. But I looked back at Mark De La Rosa, and I saw that Mark De La Rosa was able to get some pretty decent positions against him, and was like when he was getting in on his takedowns, he was able to get his back. And I think Bontorin might be able to get some success with his grappling going here and push him up against the fence. And I think, you know, he's got that kind of natural power as well. So I really like Bontorin to win inside the distance. You can get that at 4.0 with multiple bookies. And, you know, quite a bit of money's come for Bontorin as well, just on the money line. But I see they've not really adjusted the prop price. And I think if Bontorin does have success in this fight, then it is going to be, you know, he's either going to get some very dominant grappling positions, or he's going to, you know, hit him hard. So I think that's a good price. That I think it's should really come down a little bit, especially with the money line coming in.
Yeah, you can get it 4s at Bet365. It's not really coming up. I don't know if there's a little market here on Odds Checker for inside the distance. Maybe Double Chance. I'll have a look at that quickly so people can find out. Or you can get 3.75 at Paddy Power and Betfair. So, yeah, if you've got a Bet365 account or another account, try and find 4s. All right. Cool, mate. Jonas, we'll go back to you, and you have some insight on Sean Brady and Jake Matthews.
Well, not really an insight. I think like they're both two amazing fighters. I think Sean Brady being undefeated, and mostly when people are undefeated, I like to bet against them, because all the fish money is always going to be on undefeated fighters. They think, well, they've never lost and they're not going to lose this fight. But Jake Matthews is no walk in the park. His ground game is extreme and cardio is good, and I think he's going to be able to give Brady a tough match. I see you're getting close to 3 on him, and I think for me that's interesting. I would probably take a little bet on Matthews there. It's always fun also to be on the fighters when they finally lose their undefeated streak, right? So you have some bragging rights when you go up to the pub when they open up.
You're so negative, mate.
Negative.
Don't you just love a champion, mate?
Ah, Jake Matthews is the real champ.
Yeah, we want the Aussie to get through, don't we? Well, I think you can get, from what I can see here on the exchanges, you can get around 2.8, 2.9. How low would you go on Juan Matthews?
I think 2.8 sounds like value. Below, probably would skip.
Yeah, 2.8 on Bet365, 2.85 Betfred, 2.8 Unibet. So there's a few bookies there for everyone. And, mate, great to see that you're backing an Australian there, mate. That's the main thing here.
Second one, I'm backing after you, though.
What?
I'm also backing
mate,
you.
You back me, mate. Jeez.
Of course, sir. Put anyone in the ring with you and I'm on your side.
Mate, if you look at the octagon in the background, it looks like we're about to go at it and Ryan's going to referee us, actually. All right, classic. Sorry for those listening. You got no idea what we're talking about. All right, let's go back to you, Ryan. Islam Makhachev. Do you want to have a look at that one, mate, versus Drew Dober?
Yeah, so I've got a pretty simple take on this, really, and I'd just quite like to take Drew Dober by KO at 7.0. I think, obviously, Makhachev's kind of seen as, like, Khabib 2.0 at this point, but he has been stopped before. He's, you know, he's been knocked out inside the first round early on in his UFC career. And Dober's just, you know, like, he's big and he's strong for that division. Yeah, it hits really hard. You know, he's coming off, like, I think it's 3 KO wins in a row now. And the guy is, you know, and he's, he seems like he's really finding his feet. He's at a good team as well. He's up at the Elevation Camp. He's training with likes of Justin Gaethje. So obviously Gaethje's just prepared for a fight with Khabib. So he's going to have a very similar game plan, you know. And yeah, and I see like you can get Dober. I think he's like 4.0, but I really don't see him. I don't see him winning. Like a decision here, so I just think, you know, if you can get 7 on his most likely win condition, then it just kind of seems to me that that's a no-brainer, really.
Yeah, you can get 7s at Paddy Power, Betfair. You can only get like 5.5. Oh no, sorry, you can get 5 at Skybet. So, I mean, considering there's a decent price difference there, then yeah. It's always good to find some outliers in the market. So it's probably a decent call, mate. Yeah, I was listening to Daniel Cormier talking throughout the year because he's throughout the week, sorry, because he is a teammate, I guess, still of Islam Makhachev, and he was talking him up big, big time. So I reckon that'll help the price come in a little bit more.
Yeah, I've heard similar things. Like whenever you hear DC talk very highly about him, and you know, he's kind of being marketed as, you know, like the next Khabib. Is kind of looks similar, you know, he's quite stoic, he's got that wrestling background, but I think, you know, he's not Khabib yet, and you know, this is, you know, Drew Dober's no slouch. He's very flaky, he hits hard, he's got good knees, he's got good kicks, you know, he's got good uppercuts, so he's you know, he's capable of landing a KO here like at least 15% of the time. So, you know, I'll take that 7. I think it's good value.
Who knocked out Islam Makhachev?
Adriano Martins. It's a Brazilian guy. Don't think he's in the UFC anymore.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. And you've got one more, mate, before we get into the title fights. Joseph Benavidez versus Askar Askarov. I mean, what a name. So good you have to say it twice and put on a little of at the end.
Yeah, so this is kind of I have been very impressed with Askarov. You know, he fights at a very high pace. He's got really good grappling. He's got really good scrambling ability, and he's got really sharp boxing as well. I watched his fight against Tim Elliott earlier on today, and his hands looked really good in that fight. He stunned Elliott really badly, and Elliott's like you said before, he's kind of a zombie. He'll walk forward in elite shots, and Askarov nearly had him out on his feet. So I've just been really impressed with Askarov, and with Benavidez, I'm just kind of questioning where the guy's at mentally now. You know, he's been fighting for at least 15 years. He's been fighting since the WEC days. He's coming off two kind of brutal losses to Deverson Figueiredo. The guy's 36 years old now. So, you know, what's he fighting for now? Is he going to get, you know, a title shot? He's going to have to win, what, 4 or 5 and hope that, you know, Figueiredo loses the belt probably. So, be looking at a title shot by the time he's 40. Not those lower weight classes as well. It's kind of the older you are, the harder it is, just because of, you know, speed and reflexes count quite a lot. So I kind of like the fade of Benavidez, and I like the fact that Askarov is just, he looks like a really good fighter. He's been improving. The guy's only 28 as well, so he's in his prime. So I took him at 1.8, and I think he can still get that. So I think that's a good price.
Yeah, 1.8 on Bet365. So that looks like the best price in the market at the moment. Most bookies have got him down around the 1.73, around that kind of mark. So, all right, good pick there, mate. Jonas, do you have any comments on the last two ones that that Ryan's gone through, the Benavidez fight and the Makhachev fight?
Ryan is the man. If he says something, that's the law. That's the rule I live by.
Oh, good rule, good one. Rule.
Very, very good rule. All right, let's get into it. Sterling versus Yan. I'm just muting you here and there, Jonas, because you're tapping away there, mate. It's just going to ruin the audio. So if you try and talk, you don't get heard, then there's a reason. So Sterling versus Yan. Actually, I did want to go through the Santos-Rakic fight myself. I don't know if you guys have any opinions on this, but I just had a couple of questions for both of you. So Santos is obviously coming off a pretty devastating loss to Rakic, but the odds earlier in the week, they were at, I'll see if I can get the odds up, but Santos was as high as 2.5, which I thought was interesting. But you were saying to me, Ryan, that you think Rakic has a pretty decent grappling advantage in this one.
Yeah, well, kind of just judging from how Santos looked against Glover Teixeira, but I don't know if Santos is like, he had that double knee surgery, which is never going to be good, and he's 37 now? So the guy relies on being explosive and powerful. Obviously, as you get older, that's something that explosion at least diminishes a little bit. And then Rakic does have some grappling, but he doesn't tend to really initiate it. Like, I was watching the Smith fight, and it was more kind of Smith was initiating the grappling exchanges. And then when I watched a few other fights, then Rakic normally seems pretty happy to kind of stand on his feet. So it's a tough one for me. It's like if Santos was a little bit younger and wasn't coming well. I mean, he just didn't look great in that Glover fight, really. I didn't think he landed some big shots like he normally does, but I just didn't think he looked too sharp, really. So maybe that's ring rust, and maybe he'll look better this time. I don't know. It's just a pass for me. It's a tough one to call.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my main thing. Cause I've just like, maybe I haven't been watching Rakic enough to remember any time where I've seen him grapple, but I looked at a few of his stats, and I think in previous fights, I can't remember exactly what fight it was, but he has gotten a few takedowns here and there. But yeah, recently it seems like he's been kind of sticking to the feet. My only other thought on this one, yeah, sorry, go.
Sorry, man, I was just going to say, maybe like a possible way to look at back in Santos would be like Santos KO round one, because that's, you know, when he's fresh, he does carry that power. And if he's not been taken down, like Glover kind of took that out of him, didn't he, in the last fight? So if you could get, say, I don't know, like 5-6 maybe on like Santos KO round one, possibly that might be kind of a good way of looking at it.
Yeah, and the only other angle I thought of was, I've never really seen Santos, I think, has only been knocked out by Gegard Mousasi. I think that was his latest knock. Oh, he got finished by Glover. Glover, but was by submission, though, wasn't it? So, I don't know.
David Branch knocked him out as well.
Oh, really? Okay. So, I don't know if you had any opinion on both of their chins and whether they'd maybe be able to withstand each other's power and go the distance, because you can get 2.75 the distance at a few bookies.
Possibly, but I mean, just the way Santos kind of folded in that Glover fight, didn't he? Like, I watched it today, and like he hurt Glover, and then he was on top of him, landing loads of shots, and then suddenly Glover just easily reversed him and finished him within like a minute of Santos being on top. So it's just, I think it's a tough one for me. There's a lot of variables, and it's kind of one that I just want to stay away from, really.
Yeah. Did you have any thoughts on this fight, Jonas?
I mean, if you look at the track record of Santos, I would say it's pretty impressive wins he has. And I think there's a lot of people who also looks at that. And if you look at Rakic, you can't say the same. But if you look at the price also, it's a reason why it's priced the way it is. Like Ryan says, it's a tough one to call. I think if I had to bet it, I would probably go for Rakic, but I'm staying clear at the current prices at least.
Okay, cool. Good insight, fellas. We'll move on to the title fight. So first one we will go through, or at least the first one on the card, is the bantamweight title fight between Peter Yan and Aljamain Sterling. I'll get the odds up on my screen now. It's almost a pick 'em fight here. So you got Peter Yan at around the 1.9 mark on most bookies, and you've got Aljamain Sterling at 2s at Skybet, but most of the places are a bit below that. So Peter Yan is a slight favourite here. Sterling's gone through a murderer's row, I would have to say, to get to the title shot. 5-fight win streak highlighted by wins over Sandhagen, Munoz, and Stamen and Rivera. Yan, the newly crowned champ at 135, undefeated in the UFC. His most recent wins over Aldo, Faber, and also Rivera. I would say the biggest criticism of Yan, and this is where we can kind of kick it off, fellas, is that Yan has never really come up against an out-and-out wrestler or grappler, or at least, like, you know, someone at the level of Sterling. He was taken down by Jin Su Sun and twice by John Dodson. I mean, one of those was he rocked him, and one of those was a leg kick catch. How do you think he shapes up in this department, Ryan, in terms of being able to nullify Aljamain's wrestling and grappling?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, really. It's like you say, we've not really seen anybody like comparable to Sterling. And Sterling's quite big for that weight class as well. And I don't think Yan is that big, really. When you look at him, he doesn't really stick out as a big guy. He's obviously solid, but I think Sterling's going to have quite a lot of size on him. So I don't know. Like, it's just a really tough one. Like you say, we've not seen too much grappling from Yan in the UFC. And you can go back and look at his fights in Russia. You do see that he's obviously capable in the grappling department. But I think the odds are kind of right here. Like, you see money coming in on Sterling, so I think there's a reason for that, given that I'd say that Yan's kind of more, he's had more of the limelight, I suppose. He's had the big fights with Aldo and the big fight with Faber, so you'd see, like, the bookies would probably line it that way for a reason. But I do think that, you know, Yan is the more well-rounded striker. I think that Aljamain Sterling's striking is kind of a little bit herky-jerky sometimes, and he finds himself in, like, awkward positions. And I think Yan will be able to capitalise on that. It's just whether or not he can, like, fend off the takedowns. And we saw how good Sterling's grappling is when he fought Sandhagen. That was, like, over really, really fast. And he's obviously capable of doing that to anyone, because Sandhagen's a really tricky grappler himself. So it's a very interesting fight, but I can't really find a side to back in this one.
Yeah, no, it's a weird one, because it's kind of a rare scenario where you kind of feel like Aljamain's maybe the more proven fighter. Like, you can, not saying that he's better, it's more so that, like, you know exactly where he is in his career, whereas, you know, Peter Yan's not really faced as many people. And the reason I say it's weird to say is that Yan's the champion. So he's almost had an easier run lately to the title than Sterling has to just get the title shot. What do you think about this one, Jonas?
It's not easy to say. Like, the way Sterling beat Sandhagen was impressive, but I don't know if you can say it was a bit of luck involved to get out of it that easily with a win. The prices, I'm surprised to see them being even. So I would expect Yan to be a bigger favorite, like a big favorite, like 1.6, 1.7. I see the under 3.5 rounds is like 185. I think both of them, well, I don't know about Yan. They're both like equally priced to finish inside of distance. Peter Yan's decision is only 375, which is not too good for a 5-round fight, in my opinion, on someone who is like flipped to win the fight. it's just really hard to find something that looks appealing for this price. Like you said, Sterling, you never seen anyone tested Jan. That's this. That's Aston advantage in submission. Sterling submission is like, I don't know, 4.55. You can probably get better prices elsewhere. It's hard to find something really that sticks out there that just makes you want to bet. So I don't know. Like,
well, I will say that I have already placed a bet on this fight, and we can get to that, and you guys can critique my bet if you like. But
yeah,
how do we think the fight will play out? Do we think Sterling will be able to get a takedown? How do we think the striking will play out? Will Sterling be able to nullify a lot of Jan's attack by just being a little bit crazy, a little bit herky-jerky, like you said, Ryan? Like, how do you think the overall, like, landscape of the fight will play out?
If you've seen how the recent fights has gone in the bigger fights in the UFC, I would expect Sterling to chop wood from the get-go. Fuck up Jan's leg. If he can injure his leg, it's going to be... great for Sterling. Like, if you were watching the Munoz fight last weekend, just so Munoz affected Rivera's leg. And as soon as I saw that was affecting him, I just went and took a live bet on him. And it's just like these things has such a huge impact. So if you can be able to spot something like that early on, you're probably going to be able to get some good live bets going in. And I think that's something that's really important to keep an eye for. I don't know what you think, Ryan.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you though. Obviously, like that leg kick dynamic, that calf kick dynamic's really kind of coming into play now, isn't it? It's kind of changing the sport. And Sterling does have kind of that long frame, so it's kind of a little bit easier for him to kick Jan than it is for Jan to kick him. And Sterling does throw kicks from long distance. It's just like I can see this fight, like either side could look like hindsight, you know, like a 1.5 favorite, you know. If Jan is able to stuff the takedowns and maybe tie Sterling out, then, you know, he's got like, he's able to pressure, you know, really well throughout the whole fight, and he doesn't really drop off as well. We saw that in the Aldo fight, like eventually that pressure built up until he finished Aldo, and the same thing could happen to Sterling. Like, I don't think Sterling's fought five rounds before. Like, if he is trying to implement a heavy grappling game and Jan's able to stifle him, you know, that's going to tire him out. And then just the occasion as well, you know, we've seen Jan fight in big fights before, but for Sterling, you know, he could have that adrenaline drop. So it's like I say, like either side in hindsight could look like a decent favourite, but like personally, I don't know which side it's going to be. So it's just like another pass fight for me personally.
What would you tell Sterling if you were Sterling's coach? How would you approach this?
Probably kick from the outside. And then when... obviously, Jan engages into like the pocket, then maybe try and implement your grappling. That's probably what I tell him, try and frustrate him and kick from the outside, you know, win rounds that way. And then when Jan does come in and kind of overexposes himself, then try and implement your grappling just to use that reach advantage. That's what I'd say anyway. But obviously,
yeah,
you know, I'm not his coach, but I think he probably will kind of fight like that because he kind of adopted that approach against Pedro Munoz, I think, and it was quite successful. So.
Yeah, I mean, for someone who's never hit anyone in my life, I can't really go in and say how fighters actually should fight, right? So that's why I just think it's interesting to hear how you would approach it. But if you're Jan's coach, like, what are you going to say? Like, try not to get kicked in the leg. How can you do that?
Well, I mean, obviously, we'll be looking at that, and you just got to learn to check like those low kicks, but those calf kicks can be quite hard to check. Like, been watching like a lot of kind of discussion about that on podcasts and stuff, and they saying that the best way to check like the calf kick is not to try and check it, is actually just to try and like bring your leg over it rather than like the traditional way when someone like tried to kick you in the thigh, for example, you check it with your own shin. But they were saying that doesn't work as well just because the foot's so low that it kind of still catches like the bottom of your calf anyway. So, I mean, Jan could probably kind of negate that just with a lot of pressure and trying to get in close. But then obviously when he does that, he comes into grappling range. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. But
the way we're speaking about this now, don't you think that we think that ours, like Sterling has so many options there to actually take this down and be a favorite? Mm. And do you think that's also what other people have realized, and that's why the market has gone in Sterling's favor?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. Just for me, I kind of question marks over Sterling going five rounds. I think that's, you know, because he is a big guy. He obviously cuts a decent, I think he cuts a decent amount of weight. And, we know that Jan's proven over five rounds. So maybe if it's in Sterling, fight over five rounds. That might be the side that I like, but still just a few question marks for me regarding Jan's, like Sterling's ability.
Jan's fought once over five rounds?
No, he's fought previously as well. In Russia, he fought a really good guy who's at Bellator now. Can't remember his name, but he went five rounds with him twice, I think. So he's done it three times.
All right. Well, here's the bet, gents. I bet it to go the distance at 2.3, and that's on Betway. I'll get the market up on my screen. So my thought behind this was that they're both very evenly matched, as you can see in both the odds and just what we're talking about here. They've been training for this fight a really long time. They've both known this fight was going to happen for about the last year. You would have to say that was only the only real option for a title fight for a long time. And just, I don't know, I just feel like it's just going to be a really good strategic fight. And I think both will have their moments throughout the fight. Like Jan might have a few good rounds on the feet. Sterling might be able to implement some grappling and some, you know, herky-jerky style that might confuse Jan a little bit. Although Jan kind of comes forward, like he is pretty patient, like he's not just all guns blazing. So I've just thought that the odds should maybe be a little bit closer here in terms of it going the distance. And I noticed that most bookies have them around the 2.2 mark, and Betway was a little bit of an outlier here at 2.3, so I just thought I'll take it and hopefully the market comes in for me. So what would you guys say about my little bet I've had here? Go for it.
It's hard to say, like, it's not the most what can I say? This can play out so many ways. I think I would probably lay you that bet if I could, like if you want some extra dollars. But at the same time, I might be way off because I just think either the way that your bet is likely to win is if Peter Jan can stop his takedown attempts or something like that, and that he won't get his mess up his leg or one of them just goes for it kind of the first round. Let's say Peter Jan really goes for it the first round, is close to get a finish, but wastes a lot of energy and Sterling just kind of hangs on, or the other way around. I don't know. I don't know. It's 2.3 high rounds. These are both explosive fighters with a lot of power for their division. I don't know. I might be way off. What do you think, Ryan?
I don't mind it. Like you say, Jan, sometimes he pressures without throwing, so he kind of gets in people's face, but he doesn't throw a ton. So maybe if he's wary of Sterling's grappling, perhaps he won't, you know, pressure too much and overextend himself. Perhaps he will just, you know, wait on the outside, and when Sterling kicks, maybe he'll just try and counter with a kick. So you might even see kind of a slow-paced kind of kickboxing fight, possibly, but also you might find that Sterling's able to get a takedown very quickly and find a submission. And then if Sterling is able to implement his grappling game early on, and it's likely he's going to be able to do that for five rounds, so then you'd think that a finish would be quite likely. And then, like I say, with Sterling's kind of with his striking leaving kind of openings, like the way he strikes and stuff, sometimes he finds himself in funny positions and he doesn't cover up properly. Jan can crack pretty hard, and if Sterling's tired in round four and five, Jan's going to find those openings more and more. So, like, I won't say it's a bad bet, but I don't like love it either.
I'll take it. Happy days.
All right. Well, I mean, betting the fight to go the distance, I think, is usually a good bet in the UFC, because I think a lot of people, they want to see that KO. They want to see these things. The UFC gets more and more competitive, and it's harder and harder to get a knockout or KO. So it's probably a good bet on. But it's more fun to be on it, not to go the distance, which is why I would lay a couple of cheeseburgers on it.
I can vouch for that, mate. I'll never forget watching that Holloway versus Calvin Kattar fight and having to go the distance, and it was just the most agonizing watch of all time. Because there was a bit of moral code in there too, where you're like, they have to stop this fight. This is just, this is ruining this man's life. And here I am just like, don't stop it. Don't stop it. Don't stop it.
Well, you must have felt pretty good then when Max, instead of looking at the other guy's fighter, started looking at the Dana White and saying like, oh, I'm the best boxer in UFC.
Yeah, you should be excited when you win a bet, but that was like the most, it just felt wrong to win that bet.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like I remember myself cheering when Anderson Silva broke his leg, and I was like, oh, no, this is wrong to cheer from.
Yeah.
Like biggest legend of the sport, basically, or one of the biggest legends. And but it's kind of hard when you get like into it to have a couple of beers and you're like, you know, adrenaline pumping and feeling it.
Yeah, there's no best sport I think to bet on than MMA. Like I bet like on a lot of sports, and I make like thousands of bets a month sometimes, but like the only ones that I really get excited about is MMA. Like I don't really care about football and stuff. Like, and the stakes are similar and stuff, but it's like,
yeah.
MMA, there's just, I don't know, there's something primal about betting on men to fight. I well betting on men and women and watching them fight. I don't know why. It's that monkey DNA, but it's good stuff.
What about the cockfighting, mate? You like that too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, one expert.
I was in Dubai the other, like, I spoke about this, but I was in Dubai like a month ago, and who was playing? It was like Manchester City against, it was a like really big game, City Liverpool or something like that. So I went down to the bar in the hotel, staying at the Raffles Hotel, which is like a very nice hotel. I was like, hey, do you show the game? They're like, yeah, we show the games. It's on the TV. I'm like, no, the Manchester City game. They're like, no, it's just this. And then I look at the TV and there's fucking camel riding. Instead of horse riding, there's camel riding. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, Jesus. I got a message the other day from a customer who just deposited like $1,000 into one expert, and he was like, yeah, for some reason I did it like 5 days ago and they still haven't updated my account and put the money in. I was like, oh,
no. Oh dear.
If only you were listening to the podcast about 6 months ago when we told you about the cockfighting. But anyway, we spent a lot of time going through that title fight. This one might be a bit quicker because it's interesting in the sense of betting, but maybe not in terms of the fight. Amanda Nunes versus Megan Anderson. I can get the odds up on my screen, but like I said, it's not very interesting. Nunes is a very, very, very heavy favorite. You can't even get, I mean, you can get 1.1, but most of it's below that. And Megan Anderson, you can get as high as 8 on Bet365, Unibet 8.5. So if you're that way inclined, there's some big odds there. Anderson, a very up and down UFC career, with 3 wins, 2 losses, the 2 losses coming against Holly Holm and Felicia Spencer. And Nunes hasn't lost since 2014. She's on an 11-fight win streak, which is quite remarkable. She's widely known as the woman's goat, if you want to call it out like that. Ryan, do you hold any hope for Megan Anderson here?
I've actually took Megan Anderson to win by KO at 15. And my reasoning is just that, you know, obviously Nunes is an amazing fighter. Like you say, she's probably the greatest female fighter we've ever seen. But her and her partner recently had a baby, so I think that could have an effect. And she's also talked about retirement as well, you know, and she's beaten everyone. You know, what else does she have to prove, really? And I know from like having kids and stuff, especially when you have that first one, it's quite a shock to you, your routine. You know, you do have to change things up. And also you think about life differently as well. So I think it's quite a big factor for Nunes. Megan Anderson, she's, you know, she has shown big holes in her grappling, but she's a pretty good striker, you know, and she's very big and she's got a lot of range. She's got decent knees. She's got decent elbows, you know, and she stopped someone in the last fight with just one punch. So she's obviously got power that way. And obviously in MMA, you know, it's such a chaotic sport as well that you know, we've seen her kick Katzingano in the eye, and that got stopped. She could easily kind of catch Nunes coming in on a takedown and near open a court, and it gets stopped that way. Well, yeah, it was a kick to the eye, if you remember. It was a toe to the eye, actually, and they stopped the fight. Or, you know, Nunes could, you know, twist her ankle in the fight. You know, there's a lot of stuff that can happen in MMA. So if you give me, you know, odds of 15 on Megan Anderson to win by KO, I'm going to take that. You know, I think it's worth a shot for me.
Yeah, you get 15s at Betway and Skybet.
Yeah,
so that's quite a big fry. If you look at the rest of the market, they're around like 11s and 12s and 10s. So slight outlier. I mean, I'm sure there's a, you know, big margin cooked into that. But yeah, what do you think, Jonas?
Yeah, it's just betting against Nunes. I do it every time and ask myself, why do I do that after every fight? Now, let me see here. Nunes, what's the last fight she was fighting? But she looked
Felicia.
Felicia Spencer.
Like, yeah.
Did it look like she had some equity there? I think it did.
Yeah, she destroyed her. I think she was like...
Well, she like should 1. Have finished 2. Her, but Spence has the chin of all chins. Like, it was just an absolute massacre.
I think I recall it being a lot closer than what I thought it was going to be. But wait a second, I'm going to mute here now because that noise is going to be busy for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, no, I mean, it wasn't really a close fight at all. It was more so that Felicia Spencer's chin just held up like an absolute champ. I don't know how she copped so much punishment and didn't go down. And I mean, my memory might be bad, but was there a point where the fight maybe should have been stopped? Was there an argument for that? Or maybe it was more so the towel to be thrown in. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember it too well. I just remember Nunes kind of just beating her up for 5 rounds, basically. Possibly. And it could be similar this fight. Like, she will have a big grappling edge. She's very fast. She does hit hard. But I just think with Anderson's stand-up, you know, she's capable of landing something.
Yeah, I think I messed up. I went to MMA Decisions to look at the scorecard, and I could see the media score was 50-41,
50-42, 50-43.
Yeah, it's pretty close. Well, if you can bet like handicap, then maybe. But I don't know about her chin though, but like Nunes to win by decision is like 550 or something. I don't know if that's anything that could be looked at. Or if you just want to go for the state, but
my angle was Nunes. I don't know. What do you guys think? I think Nunes by KO at 2.1 is not the worst value in the world. I think she finishes Megan Anderson. Like, I think that's a very, very good chance of happening. And whether you think it happens by KO or submission, that's another argument within itself. But the reason I was leaning towards the KO was because I think if you look at Amanda Nunes, I'm trying to remember most of her fights, but she doesn't normally just go in for the takedown. And if she does go in for the takedown, she doesn't really search for submissions. I might be completely wrong, but I could see her just either ground and pounding her out or catches her on the feet with a nice punch and drops her and finishes her that way. She doesn't have many submission wins.
No, she's a decent grappler, though. Like, when she fought Jermaine Durandamy, if you remember that fight, Durandamy was having some success on the feet, and Nunes just decided, right, let's take this to where she's weak and just, you know, started implementing, like, a heavy grappling plan. And if you've seen, like, Anderson against Holly Holm did exactly the same thing. Felicia Spencer did exactly the same thing, just took her straight to the fence and got her back. So if Nunes has seen those fights, she's going to know that's probably the weakest area. So that's going to be, you know, probably where she's going to have the most success. But Megan Anderson did show like some improvements in the last fight. She fought Norma Dumont, and you could see that she looked a little bit more capable at defending takedowns off the fence. So she's obviously been working on it. And she had like a year to prepare for this fight as well. So you're going to think that she's been working really hard. But it's, even Nunes inside, the distance is like 1.3 or something, isn't it? So that's barely worth taking as well. So,
yeah, 136, I see PokerStars has their boosted odds. I mean,
Bet365 is 1.28.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's but to decide if she's going to have KO or submission. As the odds say, probably slightly more likely with KO, but I would just say, like, yeah, this is the way it's going to go. Because it could just be, like, she gets her down on the ground. She's there, like, doing the octopus or what do you call it when you just lay there. And then all of a sudden she's behind and...
And she's out, and yeah.
Classic. All right. So, yeah, maybe we can conclude with have a few cheeseburgers on Megan Anderson.
Yeah.
Let's get that knockout.
I think that's the way to go.
Megan Anderson cheeseburger knockout. Love it. And how good would that be if another Australian gets another title? Could be it's just exciting. Exciting for me at least. All right. Let's move on. Adesanya versus Blachowicz. This is the main event of the night. Israel Adesanya, the UFC middleweight champ, moving up to take a second belt. And I think, like I said about Sterling, he has been through an absolute murderer's row to get to this point in his career. His record is pretty ridiculous if you look back. He's beat Costa, Romero, Whitaker, Gastelum, Anderson Silva, Brunson, Vettori, and Tavares. Like, that is just absolutely ridiculous. Blachowicz defending his title for the first time after that impressive win over Dominic Reyes. And he's won his last four... I think he's won his last four fights in a row with KOs over Rockhold Anderson, Corey Anderson, that is, and Dominic Reyes. Yeah, what are your initial thoughts on this one, Jonas? I'll let you go first, mate.
Blachowicz he's a big guy. Adesanya is a great striker. I don't know if, like, Adesanya, when he was fighting Romero... I don't know. It was like super awkward fight. So I don't know how Blachowicz is going to go on about this. Adesanya being undefeated. You know what I think about undefeated fighters. 3-0.
Can I just say this? I should have said this before, but I think the only champ fight where the person coming up in weight has lost is Holloway versus Poirier. I think that's the only one. I just off the top of my head. So Cormier won coming up, although you could say Cormier eventually variance played out, if you want to say that, and he lost the next two fights. McGregor won, and Nunes also won, beating Cyborg coming up to featherweight.
There I'll have your quiz answers.
Sorry?
There I'll have your quiz answers.
Oh, fuck. I'm such an idiot.
I was waiting for that. BJ Penn came up and fought GSP and he lost. So that's one for the other side.
Yeah, it's a long time ago, mate. Come on. So, yeah, I don't know. Do we think that, like, does it matter? Is that, like, although maybe it's been like 50-50 over time, do we think, like, the weight advantage for Blachowicz actually gives him an advantage in the fight?
But who do you think is the, like, I think, being Adesanya is probably the best striker in the UFC. Sorry, Holloway, if you're listening, but he's so good technical. But I don't know, like, has he been fighting a lot of people this powerful except Romero, who was like 40 retired?
And on the juice. I'm joking, Yoel. I don't know. I mean, Whitaker's got decent power. Gastelum's got decent power. Costa, I mean, he beat Costa's got some power. So he deals with them pretty well. Costa,
did you see that? He's claiming he was drunk in the fight.
Bad excuse, yeah. Though, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to... I see your point. I can see this go... Like, it's just really hard to have a clear-cut fighter. Adesanya being good, but having a 66% equity, I don't know, man.
Mm.
It's like Blachowicz seems to be really stepping up his game for the big fights also. And being a powerful guy, improving probably a lot, been in the labs trying to figure out, like, this must be his biggest fight of his career, right?
Their career pathways are just, like, completely opposite, aren't they? Adesanya's never lost a fight. and he's the star of the UFC basically. And then you've got Jan on the other hand, whose UFC career got off to a pretty crap start. I'm pretty sure he lost 4 of his first 6 fights or something like that, I heard. And then ever since then, he's just defied belief and beaten a lot of good fighters when he was basically always the underdog. And now he's gotten into a title fight with an undefeated Adesanya, who's, like I said, the star of the show. So it's pretty...
I mean, when you put it like that, 1.5 seems like a slam dunk, correct? Or 1.4 or something.
It's just, what do you think, Ryan? It's hard to, you obviously know Israel's the better striker, but how do you then weigh in the fact that Jan is going to be a lot heavier in there?
Yeah, so I think there's obviously a massive speed disparity between the two. Adesanya's very fast, and Błachowicz, when he fought Reyes, I don't know if there was something too wrong about. I don't know if there's something wrong with Reyes, but it didn't look right, and maybe that's because Jan was doing something that he wasn't expecting. But Jan's kind of a little bit more lumbering, he does throw combinations, but you know they're quite slow. He'll throw 1-2 and then a big kick, and I think Adesanya will be able to deal with that all day with his kickboxing background. So then, what else is Błachowicz going to do? Really, he's going to try and implement some grappling. Possibly, but he's never really been the strongest grappler, although you would think he would have a strength advantage, so maybe. I just think that it seems like a tough style matchup for him. I think Adesanya would be too quick. Adesanya's very good at fighting that kind of outside range. We saw that against Costa, he was just piecing up his legs, and then when Costa was coming in, and Costa's quite a bit faster than Błachowicz. So, I like Adesanya here. I'm not, he's probably shorter than he should be. Oh, he's probably about right. I mean, that 1.5, I think, is probably about right. But I saw I could get 4 on the exchanges for Adesanya to win by decision. And I thought that's quite a good bet, because even though he has been KOing people lately, and Błachowicz has also been KOing people lately, the guy went to a decision with Anderson Silva. Before that, he went 5 rounds with Brad Tavares. He doesn't tend to overextend himself, and he knows Błachowicz has power. He's quite happy to sit at that range and just pick guys off. And Błachowicz is very tough as well. He's not going to be a guy that's going to fold. So I think probably there's a bit of recency bias, and people are kind of going quite heavy on Adesanya KO. And then I've seen people on the other side going with Błachowicz KO, but I kind of Adesanya by decision when I see how the fight possibly plays out. I think, you give me 25% on Adesanya decision, I'll take that.
Well, I bet under 3.5 rounds, just for the fight to go under 3.5 rounds. And I can get the odds up on screen. So that's 1.73 on Betway. And the rest are a decent bit lower than that, at 1.66, 1.67. So, yeah, that's what I've gone with. I just think both fighters, I think the only way Israel loses is if, I don't see any grappling really in this fight. And I think the only way that Israel loses is getting just hellaciously knocked out by Błachowicz, and then the other way around, I can see Israel just piecing him apart from the start, like he's done with Costa, kind of like he did with Whittaker too. And by the time it gets to 3.5 rounds, I just don't know if that is the way the fight goes. I'm just not sure I could see him lasting that beating.
Do you see Błachowicz taking a clinch up against the corner and pushing Adesanya in there and trying to take him down? Could this be happening?
I mean, it's a possibility. Błachowicz is normally quite happy to strike with guys, but it seems like it'd be smart to try and do that.
I mean, yeah, exactly. My point is, if he's just planning on standing up and strike against Adesanya, he's going to come prepared for that. But if he does something like this, or he gets it to the ground somehow, I don't know, has Adesanya had many fights on the ground against grapplers and been taken down? Doesn't seem like an easy guy to get to take down, though.
I think Vittori,
yeah. Vittori had some success against him. But I think Vittori's a little bit quicker. Błachowicz isn't very quick. Even for a light heavyweight, he's not that quick. He's just very strong. But like I say, the guy's durable, so that's kind of why I like the decision. edge. And I just don't think Adesanya is a guy that's going to take risks either. Like he didn't, you know, against guys like Brad Tavares, he didn't really take much risks against him. Against Anderson Silva, he didn't. We saw in Yoel Romero fight, you know, Yoel's explosive, carries a lot of power, you know, and he fought him very safely. So I could see him doing a similar thing with Błachowicz, really just kind of using his speed and staying at range and picking him off. So that's kind of my opinion.
Well, the fights where he's got a knockout, the fights where he got it has gotten a knockout, like Costa and Whitaker. Costa and Whitaker like are happy to come forward and initiate the striking. So how do we think Yan will sit back, or do you think he'll try and initiate the striking? Because if he does try and initiate the striking, then he could be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, I mean, he was fairly patient against Reyes. Like, he didn't, like, from memory, the only time he's really rushed things was when he fought Thiago Santos, and that's when he got knocked out, and he seemed to kind of learn from that to be a little bit more patient. So I don't think, you know, he's not stupid. I don't think he's just going to run forward throwing, like, wild hooks. He's got, you know, the guy's been fighting for a long time. He's obviously going to come in with a game plan. His game plan against Reyes was kind of to catch him on the outside, so he'd throw, like, a feint, or he'd throw, like, a shot to set up another shot when Reyes was moving out of the way. So I imagine he'd try and do a similar plan against Adesanya, but I think Adesanya will be a lot quicker and a lot more wise to it. But I quite like Błachowicz's durability. Like I say, I think he's been stopped by Santos once with a massive bomb. I think he got stopped earlier in his career with like a knee injury, but apart from that, he's been very durable. So you're not going to talk me out of Adesanya decision. It's
no. I've never mind. I'm just trying to figure out, like, in what way, like, from like a coach perspective, what do you say to Błachowicz? Because the one thing you must say is, don't try to fucking strike with this guy. He's gonna have an edge against you. We will have better path to victory than that. And the most obvious way would be about the leg kicks again, right? But then if you have to get those leg kicks in, it can't be easy either. So you need to apply some kind of pressure. But the thing about if you can get leg kicks is also you can throw in some submission attempts potentially if he wants to do that. But it's all like trying to set up something with some traps, but who knows?
Yeah, I just got the odds up for people listening in. So Adesanya's decision, the best odds I can see there is 3.75. on Bet365 and BetVictor. Would you take those odds, Ryan, or would you want fours or more?
Let's try and get fours on the exchange. Like, there'll be a lot of money on this fight, and the majority of that money in the prop market will be going on Adesanya KO. So, you know, you can post up that decision. You can post that up at like four, probably above four, and I imagine it'll get taken. So that'll be my approach. If you can bet at the exchange, you go with four. You can take 3.75, but that's probably the lowest I'd take it.
Yeah, no, like, I'm just trying to make a conversation here. And, like, the Sanya decision, it seems, I agree with you also there. Like, it's just very hard to see anyways, Błachowicz is going to be able to compete with that speed. But, again, got to see what happens if he gets in leg kicks early on. I'm ready.
Yeah, I mean, if he can do that, you think that Adesanya, you know, with the speed advantage, and he's also a lot quicker with his own leg kicks, that if they do play that game, you'd think it'd be Adesanya. I mean, if that price keeps like drifting on Adesanya, like if he gets over 1.5, I think he's like 1.5 now in the exchanges, that starts to get tempting there, just to kind of take him straight up. But I thought Reyes was a pretty good bet against Błachowicz, and then Błachowicz went and destroyed him. So maybe I'm underrating Błachowicz. There might be something I'm not seeing, like, with his game that's, you know, a lot better than like what I can comprehend. But I just think Adesanya's a bad style matchup for him.
Yeah. I know. I guess we just got to see how he plays out. But I agree with you. Like, the four at decision seems tempting. And I think unlikely for, well, it's hard to say. Like, three is usually tempting, I think, for, like, good fighters like Błachowicz. But Adesanya is also extremely good, unfortunately. So I think I'm just going to wait it out and probably see for in-play. If I can get anything at your price, then sure, take some.
All right. Gents, we've just gone through an absolute monster preview there. Eight fights. and, you know, at least eight Etzel. I mean, we disagreed, or not disagreed, but we discussed a few different options there. So there's more than eight bets for you to stew over. But, gents, if I had to say to you, what do you think the best one is out of everything we've gone through today? Jonas, I'll start with you, mate. What do you reckon is your best bet that you've gone through today?
It's based on a bit on like, it's hard to say if it is good. I just really like what I've seen of Jake Matthews recently and his improvement. So I'm going to have to go for him against Sean Brady.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Love it, mate. And Aussie, you said, from memory, you said 2.8. You wouldn't take anything lower than 2.8.
Yeah.
Ryan?
I'll just go with the Askarov bet, just because it's easy to get on. You should be able to get over 1.8. I think that's just a solid bet.
Right. Awesome. Would you go lower than 1.8?
Maybe take like 1.76, 1.77. I wouldn't go too far away from that.
All right. Terrific stuff. And if anyone wants my...
What's your pick of the week, Alex?
I threw a few out there today. I did throw a few out there, and I'm gonna stick to my guns on this one. I'm gonna go Israel Adesanya and Błachowicz under 3.5 rounds at 1.73. I'm gonna predict either an out of nowhere knockout by Błachowicz, or Adesanya just pieces him up big time and finishes it sometime in those first 3 rounds or 3.5 rounds. So.
Okay.
There we go, gents. What do we think?
Well, I have one quiz question for you, since you clearly didn't know how to have a quiz without ruining it for yourself.
Well, I didn't exactly fully answer it, but yeah, go, mate.
Oh, okay, sorry. Okay, so do you know that Adesanya is ambassador for a sports site? Sports betting site?
Yes. Oh, who is that?
Oh. Well, that's the question.
That's the question.
You know, right?
He's sponsored by Puma, isn't he?
No, it's a betting. Well, I'm saying a sports betting site. Puma is a sports betting site.
Let's have a look at bottom of my screen here on Odds Checker and see if anything rings.
I don't think they're there.
Come on.
I don't think they're there.
Ah, fuck. All
it's
right.
Actually what? A crypto betting site.
Is it?
Stake.com.
Snake.
Steak.
As in like a $100 steak.
Imagine
not
if
like,
you said that.
Like a Wagyu steak.
Classic. All right. Well, thanks for that, mate. Great quiz question. That's good from you.
That was a good
maybe
one.
Maybe you should come up with the next one. Maybe if it's going to be that hard, I would advise a multiple choice. Quiz master that I am, that's what I would advise.
Okay. I'll take that into account.
You can find these gentlemen at Jonas Yell on Twitter and SM Sports Trader. And you can also check out Ryan's website, smartsportstrader.com, or you can check out Jonas's website, tradematesports.com, if you've ever heard of them. Back to my quiz question. You can easily name the three champs, but who is the one triple champ in UFC history?
Cejudo, isn't it?
Yeah. Bloody hell, I thought you weren't going to get it, mate. It's a bit of a joke that he's obviously not a triple champ, but he's, what does he call
himself? Triple
C. Triple C.
Yeah.
One day he'll be quadruple C. He'll fight Volkanovski one day, I reckon. Have a crack. All right. Sweet.
All right, mate.
That was a shit quiz question. I thought that was going to be quite funny. But anyway. Next podcast coming up for everyone listening, that will be tomorrow, actually, yeah. Going to do a football preview, so that'll be fun. And other than that, thanks for listening. Make sure you do a quick rate and review of the podcast. Subscribe to us wherever you listen to the podcast. And if you're looking to implement some of the strategies we talked about today, start your value betting journey with Trademate Sports. And make a bit of
come on, a bit more enthusiasm, Alex.
I say it quite often, so it's just, you know, you can't go enthusiastic all the time. You gotta
yeah you, you know, can
j- different voice levels. Maybe, do you want to do it, mate? You give it a go.
Do it one more time, and while you say it, you rip your t-shirt, and I'll send you $50.
Hulk Hogan style, yeah, that'd be good.
Oh, mate, definitely not doing that. All right, let's finish up there. And good. Nah, I reckon I can get you up to 1,000, mate.
Fuck's sake.
All right. See you guys next week.
See you later.